Shalom everyone, and today we're studying Parashat Vayishlach. This is in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verse 4. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav lesav achiv arza seir de Edom. Again, Jacob, the patriarch, is coming now in the story. He is arriving into the promised land after being absent for over 20 years, being in Haran, staying at his uncle's home, marrying his two daughters and their two maids, and having 12 children being born, 11 sons, one girl. That is the summary of the previous parasha. Now he's coming back home, and to remind everybody, he left his home, his birthplace in the land of Canaan. He left that place because his brother Esau wanted to kill him. So he ran away to Haran in south of Turkey, southeast, what is today Turkish Kurdistan. And there he met his uncle, his mother's brother, and okay, so all of that happened over there. We'll come into it later on. He's coming back. The problem is still there. Is Esav still in that mode, wanting to kill him? After more than 20 years, maybe he's not upset anymore. Still, he needs to deal with the problem as soon as possible. And here we have in this parasha, Parashat Vayishlach, we have the story, on one hand, of Jacob meeting Esau. Then he is facing basically extermination because Esau comes with 400 warriors to kill him. Somehow, Jacob is surviving that. And Esau is not going to kill him anymore. Okay, that was a risk for Jacob, almost lost his life and all his family's life. A little bit later, they settle in Shechem, okay, and then there is another horrible story. The daughter of Jacob, Dinah, is being raped by the son of the head of the Shechem clan, okay? Another, your brother wants to kill you, then your daughter is being raped. On the way, so they leave Shechem, they somehow manage to destroy Shechem instead of Shechem destroying them. Then they go south for Yitzchak in Hebron, his father. On the way, Rachel is giving birth in Bethlehem, and she dies at her birth, giving birth to Binyamin. So, I don't know how to describe it, but this is like the nightmare of a human being is the story of Vayishlach. And the question is, how do we deal with all of those disasters? That, that's what life is about. There are enemies. Sometimes they're deadly, and sometimes there are people who come to kill you. What do you do? And then you have a problem of Dinah and the story of Rachel losing his beloved wife, and only then we have the story of the death of Isaac. That is a nice story because finally they made it to Isaac, and Isaac could raise his grandchildren, which is a beautiful story. And then at the end, we have a strange story, chapter 36, which is Ele Toldot Esav Hu Edom. These are the days or generations of Esav, who is Edom. And over there, we are talking about the like Esav, his offsprings, and speaking about the leaders of Edom, the champions of Edom, like the generals of Edom. And then there's another story, and it ends by that. One of the most important stories when you study the structure of the universe according to Kabbalah, you can find it in Genesis 36, verse 31. Ve'ele ha-melachim asher malchu be'eretz Edom lifnei meloch melech livnei Yisrael. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there was a king in for the children of Israel. And there is a very distinct description, verse 32, Vayimloch be'edom Bela ben Beor v'shem Iro Dinava. And the first king was Bela, the son of Beor, and the name of his city, Dinava. And then verse 33, Vayamut Bala, and Bala died, Vayimloch tachtav Yovav, and instead of him, reigned, became the king, was crowned Yovav ben Zerach, Mibotzra. Yovav ben Zerach from the city of Botzra. And that is like a detailed description of those kings, their reigns, and their death. Okay? One of the most important stories, though, if we have time, we'll get into it. So let us start before with how do we deal with, it's like disaster management. Jacob, after all what he went through, he's still at the end of the story. He is like having a good time living with his father. Okay, so how do you go through a crisis, stage of crisis like this? And here we start already from the beginning. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. And Jacob sent Malachim. Now, Malachim is the two ways to explain it in Hebrew. Both of them are right in this story. One is messengers, because we have to explain that he sent humans, people, messengers. Malachim are messengers. Send them over to Esav to tell him, so you're going to tell my master Esav. He's kind of trying to appease his brother. And so, Ko amar avdecha Yaakov, so said your servant Jacob, I lived with Lavan and I delayed till now. Va'eli shor v'chamor v'tzon v'eved v'shifcha. When I had an ox and a donkey and sheep and a slave and a maid, and I'm sending to tell my master, I need to find grace in your eyes. And he's sending a lot of gifts to appease his brother. Okay? However, that's on the plain understanding. But Malachim in Hebrew means also angels. And in today's Hebrew, when you say Malachim, you almost always mean angels. So what's the take of the sages? So we go to Rashi, the most popular commentator in the last 1,000 years. And Rashi says, Malachim mamash, real angels. You know, the words, real angels. It's kind of a, no, real angels. And so says the Zohar and many other commentators. Why do we have to insist on saying that the angels were real angels? Okay? And that's not the first time angels are mentioned over here. We have in this parasha one of the most famous stories in the whole Tanakh, which is the battle between Jacob and the angel. We can see it in chapter 32, verse 25. Vayivater Yaakov levado, and Yaakov was left alone at night when he was, well, after he took all his family and belongings across the river, and Jacob was left alone. Vayavek ish imo, and a man struggled or fought with him ad alot hashachar, till dawn. Vayirar ki lo yacholo. So, but the angel, as all the commentators are saying, this was the angel of Esav, the angel of the dark force. As we have to remember, the story of Yaakov and Esav is the story of the two sides in each one of us, the good inclination and the evil inclination. So when it is said that this is the angel of Esav, we are talking about the dark lord, the force of darkness. He was struggling, wrestling with that dark angel all night. And in the morning, the angels want to go away because the morning is not his time. Jacob is holding on to him. How can you hold on to an angel? And he says, verse 27, Vayomer shalcheni ki ala shachar. Send me away because this is dawn. Vayomer lo shalachecha ki berachtani. And Jacob is saying, I'm not going to send you away unless you bless me first. And his blessing is, Lo Yaakov yamer ot shimcha. Your name is not Yaakov anymore. That Yaakov means the heel, the lowest part of the body, but also means that you have to struggle to get to your position. You don't have to excuse yourself anymore, so say the commentary. Ki im Israel, from now on your name will be Israel. Ki sarita im Elohim, because you struggled with the power of the angels and with people, vim anashim, vatuchal, and you won. You have the power to struggle, to argue, to fight, and win. So his name is being replaced. Also, Israel is in many places it is said, Israel is the letters of Li Rosh. If Yaakov, the word Yaakov, Jacob, is coming from the word Akev, the heel, the place in the body that is connected to the ground, touching the ground, and the whole body leans on it. Israel is the same letters as Li Rosh. I've got the head, which means from being the result to being the cause, for always trying to deal with the conflicts and problems, now you are in control. That's the transformation from Jacob to Israel, which means when you fight with a dark angel, with your own dark angel, and you win because you're not willing to give up and let go, you can rise from the state of always, most people, most of their lives, they are basically in the mode of putting off fires. Problems pop up here and there, and you're just like, where is it coming from? And you're just in the state of Yaakov. You're always excusing yourself. You're always trying to put things together to basically to survive. That's Yaakov. Israel means to lead. To lead, to set the agenda, to be at the top of the things. So this is the transformation. What does it mean for us again? This is the recipe for us. Where is it that you want to be? Where is it? Do you want to be forever that kind of a person that is busy to putting off fires and conflicts, trying to survive and excuse yourself all the time? Or do you want to take control or ev about everything? Do you want to take the lead, hold the wheel, which that what Israel really means? So let us go back to the beginning and we'll start to give the answers. So when it says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, and according to what we just explained, it means basically there's no contradiction. He sent messengers, however, at the same time, he sent angels. So let us read what the Zohar is saying in order to understand the concept. Okay, so the Zohar is starting from the beginning, Zohar HaSulam commentary, verse 1. Rabbi Yehuda Patach, Rabbi Yehuda opened, which means they open a new level of perception, understanding. Ki malachav yetzavelach lishmocha bechol drachecha. This is Psalms 91:11. Very important verse. God is going to order his angels to guard you all your wherever you are on the way. Haikra u'kumuha chavreya. This verse had already been explained before. And how was it explained? When a person is born into this physical world, miyad is the man ba'day yetzerara. Immediately, as we are born, the evil inclination is born with us and is becoming an integral part of who we are and what we are. So we have this evil inclination, and that's part of being on earth in a body, the evil inclination. And the evil inclination has one goal, to disturb, to be an obstacle, to create challenges so we can earn our godliness, our enlightenment, by overcoming his game of obstacles and problems and fires, and you just name it, all the troubles in the world, he generates them. Okay, so, and how do we know, says the Zohar, that human beings are born immediately with the evil inclination? Because when you go to the animal world, you know that young animals, they somehow instinctively run away from fire. On the opposite, human young ones, they run into the fires and any kind of problem. They have a like an infinite possibility to generate problems. These are young human beings. It's not that older human beings do not create problems, but that's, you know, at least you're supposed to look at the instincts of young animals. They know how to stay away from fire. Not humans. They run away, run into the fire. So, and that's why it says, "Lafetach atah rovetz," the sin lies in the entrance. This is Genesis 4, verse 7. So now, continues the Zohar, verse 3. Ve'imatay atei, when is the time for a person to purify himself from the evil inclination? Kadi hu bat leisar shanim, when he is 13 years old for boys, 12 years old for girls. Kedini, so when you celebrate bat mitzvah for girls 12 years old, bar mitzvah for boys 13 years old, you get the good inclination only then. And now you have both chad mimina, one on your right, the good inclination, אחד משמאלה, one on the left, יצר טוב לימינה, they good inclination, on and one on the from the right, bad good inclination, and one from the left, bad inclination. יצר טוב לימינה, יצר רע לשמאלה, ואילן אינון טרין מלאכים ממש. And these two forces were metaphysical. These two forces in a human being, okay, which means the what is the main motivation of a human being? Yes, you have the motivation for survival, which can be explained psychologically. However, you have two more forces, two angels. One is the good inclination that is that has the need, the drive, the calling to connect to divinity. Okay, this is not explained by evolution. And the other one is the evil inclination that is trying to connect exactly to the opposite. Both are not always together with the agenda of human survival. Okay, so many times the evil inclination draws us into self-destruction, like addiction, like hatred, like anger, ego, all of that stuff that humans are so good at doing, and self-destruction, that we are very good at it. Animals are not, you know, you won't find in nature addiction among animals. You won't find that. It's like, I don't know, maybe a little bit here and there, very rare. You won't find the evil inclination, self-destructive mechanism in the animal world, but you find it a lot in the human world. This is, I would say even this is dominant. This is the main thing you see on people, that usually the worst enemy of a human being is himself. Is it the real, the whole self, real self? No, this is the evil inclination. However, when you're not, you're not fighting the evil inclination, you don't even understand who is fighting who, you lost the game before it even started. Okay? The evil inclination takes over very shortly, and you're finished. You're a miserable, decaying life with some maybe moments of excitement that you will think these are successes. However, you realize later on, these were your demise. Okay, that's the evil inclination. When he's in charge, he can see the way. Okay, but if you study spirituality, especially when you study Kabbalah, you start to realize who are the two forces in your own subconscious who run the game. And when you overcome the evil inclination, you are basically in the state of Israel, which means you are in charge, and instead of putting off troubles and fires, you are leading your life towards the direction you chose. So these two forces are metaphysical. They are angels, the good inclination and the negative inclination. Vehem nimtzayim adam tamid, and they are always with the person. Verse 4, Atei barnash nitka, ההוא יצרה את כף יקמי ושליט ימינה על שמאלה, ותרווה יום מזדווגין לנטרלי לברנש, בכל אורחו ידעו עבד, הדר דכתיב כי מלאכה ויצווה לך לשמורך בכל דרכיך. What's interesting, בא האדם להתאר, when a person is setting himself as a goal to purify himself from the evil inclination, okay, when a person sets that as his main goal of his life, not making money, not being healthy. Why? Because if I make money and I'm staying greedy or angry, I'll be stupid enough to lose it. Okay? But if I let the fortify the good inclination to overcome the evil inclination, then I have more chances to live long, keep my money, keep my fortune, and even make it bigger, because the good inclination will open up the bliss when I'm following the evil inclination, that will be always high and by, which means you'll have short-term joy and excitement, and then long-term of darkness and decay. That's really what happens when you follow your evil inclination. So when a person is really setting his way to purify himself and to awaken the good inclination and to associate yourself only with the good inclination, that's a very dramatic transformation. So when a person has setting a goal, he's setting a goal, a direct, very precise goal to purify from the filth of egotism, hedonism, selfishness, and so on, which is basically the evil inclination. It's self-destructive. It has a short-term joy, but there's always the morning after. So these two angels are with the person all the time, verse 3. So when a person sets his goal to purify, the evil inclination will be subdued. Vayamin sholet al shmal, and the right will control the left. The right side is the good inclination. The right side is also the sharing aspect in every human being. The left side, this is the receiving aspect in the human being, the judgment aspect. Veshneim, both of them, the Yetzer Tov Yetzer Ra, the good inclination, the evil inclination, when a person is doing a real teshuva, a real transformation of getting closer to the light of the Creator, then the evil inclination, the good inclination, and the bad inclination, they unite in one mission to guard, lishmo et ha'adam b'chol drachav, to guard the person all through all his ways. Zehu shekatuv ki malachav yitzavelach lishmorcha b'chol drachecha. This is a very famous verse, again about the angels. I think this is Psalms 51:5, if I'm not mistaken. He will send order his angels, God, of course, to guard you everywhere you go. So here we have another expression dealing with angels. So we'll continue verse 5. Rabbi Elazar mokem lei lehak Rabbi Yaakov. Nekutsha b'chu azmin ba'dei malachin mashiryan memanan begin dehoi ate ishlim b'shivtin ilain kulu shlemim kedka yakot yaot kemad itamar v'yaakov alach ledarko v'yfgu bo malachi elokim v'itmar v'acha kevan ishazev minei delavan v'ayit parash minei kedei nizavgat imei shchinta v'ato mashiryan kadishin zesachar lei uti v'yomer Yaakov kasher ha'am. And so on and so forth. Okay. What does that mean for us? So let us explain that. Jacob, because of his righteousness and hard work and all the contemplation and meditation and prayers he did till now, Jacob created till that moment armies and armies of good angels. As it is said in many places, whoever is committing a sin is getting himself a prosecutor attorney, which means a bad angel that prosecutes. He always wants revenge. When you do something good, then you create a defending attorney. Okay, And all the sages speak about good angels and bad angels. When you do good deeds, when you observe mitzvot, you create in each one of your action, you create angels. Now, if the action was spiritual, good, of a good deed, you create a positive angel. That angel stays with you for the rest of your life. Okay? You sinned, you hurt people, whatever, this creates a negative angel that is sabotaging your life. Okay? So it's a fifth column. You created that angel, but that angel works against you all your life till you eliminate that angel. So, how do you create positive angels and how do you eliminate negative angels? Because here we have the story of Jacob. He is really stressed out because he's going to meet his nemesis, Esau, his eternal enemy. Esau wants to kill him no matter what, from the beginning. Okay? What do you do against it? You send angels, which means before we have an important meeting or a very, very crucial encounter with another person or whatever, we can send good angels to secure the meeting and help it to manifest on the best side. How do we do it? First of all, you need to have angels in the first place to be able to send them away. How do you create good angels? So, as we said, it is said in the Talmud, it says in the Zohar, it says in many places, whenever you perform a mitzvah, you generate an angel. However, the Arizal, Rabbi Isaac Luria, the greatest Kabbalist in the 16th century, he says something very important. Omnam det he, I'm reading from Sha'ar Ruach HaKodesh, the gate of the Holy Spirit. Okay? In the beginning, page one. Omnam hakol kefi ma'aseh adam, everything is according to the actions of the person, which means, as we said before, when we speak, angels are being created. When we have evil speech, bad angels are being created. When we have good speech, good angels are being generated. Hakolu kefima sadam, accord, everything is according to the what the person did. Ki motatu ashi asok bakoreh ota lishma, if that study, let's say his mitzvah is to study Torah. If he does it for the sake of the Creator, to give him light, then the angel coming out of it will be kadosh u'meod, will be very holy, ve'elyon mod, and very divine. Ve'ne'emar b'chol dvarav be'emet gamur, and when he delivers information, they are going to be precisely truth and divine, ve'elyon mod. ונאמן בכל דבר באמת גמור, וכן אם קורא אותה בלי שיבושים וטעויות, יהיה מלאך או בלי טעות, ויהיה נאמן בכל דבריו. Now, if the mitzvah that you're doing, okay, you're doing it like really precisely according to the law, and you know exactly what you're doing because you trained yourself before, then the holy angel that will come out of it will be a very, very precise, loyal, and without any mistakes. Same thing. And that's why it says, whoever is doing one mitzvah got himself a defending attorney. This angel that you created, all the angels we generate, good or evil, okay, they follow us all our lives. וזה עניין המלאכים המתגלים עם בני אדם. So what he's saying, These angels can reveal themselves to us, give us information. They also can just give us protection. Now, the question is like this: are all of those angels the same? And the Rizal is saying no. The answer is like this: when a person is doing a mitzvah, can start as a good deed. When you just do the action, just because it's nice, just because it is acceptable, just because you have to, and you know it's nice to do it, okay, you do it. Okay. The angel that comes out of that mitzvah maybe will have powers, but if you just did whatever you did to get by, the angel will be pretty weak, which means there are few layers of the creation of these angels. So those angels, we have two things about them: quality and quantity. Quality, are these good angels or negative angels? If these angels are generated when we give charity, when we pray, when we do all the mitzvot, Shabbat, whatever you name it, laying tefillin, tallit, they create angels. However, the Arizal is saying the qual the this is that could be the quality of the angel depends on your attitude as doing it. If you do it from a selfish point of view, that won't be a protective angel. That will be a negative angel. If you do it with real good intention, however you do it to get by, that's also creating a good angel, but it's going to be a very, very poor and weak angel. However, the more you know, the more you learn, the more your awareness is expanded, the angel will come from Olam Yetzirah. It's coming from the level of studying Torah and being really serious about it. However, there's a higher level. When you do it with a spiritual meditation, then the angel will be coming from Olam Bria, not Olam Asiya, where we are, not from Olam Yetzirah, one above, Olam Bria. However, if we do it with a lot of enlightenment and excitement and passion with all our heart, the angel will come from Olam Atzilut, from the fourth dimension, from the fourth world, the highest. So these angels can protect us. That's why, how do we use them? First of all, it is known in Jewish tradition, before you are going to face a big challenge, let's say an operation, let's say a meeting with somebody about signing a contract, that could be very, very decisive for your company. Whatever, you can send good angels. Time ahead, good angels, time ahead, and that should be done. When you do, when you do charity and all kinds of other mitzvot, and you concentrate to send the light you generate to that appointment, to that meeting, to that encounter. Okay, so, and you can also pray for that and talk about it and visualize it. So the more powerful the angel you created, the more powerful will be the support. Here the Zohar says, because Jacob comes to the land of Canaan after so many years in exile, however he generated over there like a whole army of positive angels. When he meets Esav and Esav is incapable of hurting him, That will be a lot, according to the version of the Zohar, a lot thanks to the angels that Jacob generated, created all his life, and now these angels came all together to help Jacob deal with Esav. And the surprising outcome is that Esav hugs him and kisses him with all his might, with all his heart, because something brought him into feeling so much love to his brother Jacob. He had no control over it. He couldn't but hug and kiss his brother that just moments ago he wanted to kill him. So the Zohar relates that to the huge armies of positive angels that Jacob created all his life, waiting for this moment to come. So when you see outcomes that are kind of irrational and irrationally good, you might as well think angels were involved. And how do you generate angel? When you perform a mitzvah, which means when you connect to the light of the Creator, according to the rules of the Torah, and you do something good. And again, let's go back to the Rizal, four levels of quality of angels. Can be a lame, weak angel that was created by an action that a person did, a good deed, just for doing a good deed, just simply doing it because it's nice to do it, and you don't want to have guilt by not doing it, so you just do it to get by. That's a very lame angel. But if you are concentrating on all the laws and the spiritual aspects of the that mitzvah, okay, then the angel will be stronger and bigger. Okay, and especially when, as we said, you have passion, you're doing it with the real desire to connect to divinity. So the mitzvah is only a vehicle to connect to God. Like it says, there's the story about Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk, a great Hasidic sage then of the 19th century in Poland. It was not at that time, it was Austria, I think. And what it says over there that he once saw his student making a blessing over an apple. And he said to his student, "You know what's the difference between you and me? You made the blessing so you can eat the apple. I eat the apple so I can make a blessing." So when you are doing some mitzvah, which is basically all the mitzvah, the purposes according to the Zohar, are to connect to superpowers, to the network of the Creator. But when you do it seriously, with intention, with the heart, with the soul, with basically really meaning to connect to the forces of the tree of life, that angel will be strong. You can send these kind of angels on the way to protect you before you arrive to a certain encounter, a meeting, an appointment, and then you will see how things turn in your favor. However, if you do, let's say you do good stuff, you're not a bad person, but you do it to get by, the angels that are being generated, according to the Arizal, they're going to be lame, like not so powerful, and you won't see so much of a difference. Now, according to the Arizal, the angels also give us information. Sometimes we simply know, do not go this way, go another way. Where did I know? Where? So those angels are called also Magidim. They tell you, tellers. They tell you. But would they tell you always the truth? What if your mitzvah, well, action, was not really truthfully genuine? It was kind with an agenda. Of course, the angel generated by your mitzvah will be kind of, he will maybe give you some information. It won't be the right information. So you'll have a very strong surge of intuition to do something. And then you'll be like, why? That was so strong, the intuition. I knew I should do it. Why did it come out wrong? And the answer is your intentions when you create those angels was not that pure. Now, can we do only perform pure actions? Of course not. Okay? It's we when every time we perform any good deed or any mitzvah, and we do it for the purpose of awakening spiritual light, godly light, and bring it to this world in order to purify ourselves so we can get closer to God. And that's our only agenda. Not because I'm giving charity, because I want to be successful in that appointment or another meeting. Okay? The more truthful is the intention to use everything we do, everything we say, when we study Torah, when we light Shabbat candles, when we bless over the bread on Shabbat, or we bless over the water on a weekday, it doesn't matter. All of these awaken, arouse, generate, create angels. Now, the nature of the angel will be corresponding to the effort and the awareness I invested in that angel. So here, Jacob is trying to send his angels in order to simply divert the course of history. So Esau does not murder him and his family, and the nation of Israel could be born. He's successful because, and that's what the story is about, he worked so hard. And we see that in Parashat Vayetze. Jacob did not do things just to get by. He was like a person that when he did something, he did it with passion, with purpose, with awareness. He was not a compromiser. He was a real warrior. So when he meets with Esau, yes, he has 12 children, four wives, maybe he has some shepherds with him. He has no chance fighting against the 400 warriors that Esau, his brother, is bringing to kill him. How did he get away from that? With that. Not just that he's sending angels, he's also outsmarting Esau. And we already had that before when we discussed the idea of why did Jacob have to steal the birthright and the blessing from Esau. And then we answered that in our world, Jacob, the good inclination, always have to outsmart the dark side, the evil inclination. We always, as the arena of the ongoing war between the good inclination on the right side and the evil inclination on the left side, we are the arena of their own fight. We always have to outsmart the dark one because he's much stronger. So he's not just sending angels, he's also starting a psychological warfare against his brother Esau. And how does he do it? He's trying to manipulate Esau. Esau, I have no doubt, my brother is coming back. He cheated me. He cheated me by making me sell the birthright, by stealing the blessing from my father. I can't wait till I kill him. That was Esau. Okay, the evil inclination. Jacob is showing us it's not enough just to send good angels. You also have to do everything possible to accelerate your chances for survival and even victory. Yes, he's sending angels. The other thing is, he is sending Esav a kind of offering for forgiveness. He's sending him like huge fortune as a gift through all of these messengers. Those are carrying bulls or cows or camels or whatever. And by wave, he sent wave after wave, that even by today's prices, he's sending him gifts by the worth of millions of dollars. Jacob. And he's saying, as we read before, I'm your servant, I'm your servant, I'm your servant. I want to find grace in your eyes. I'm asking for forgiveness. And even the toughest guys, when you give them presents, bribe can buy, people's attention and opinions. We know that. Even the toughest people, they have a price. They have a price. Now, here the price is very visible. It's treasures worth a lot of money. And he also telling him, verse 6, Vahili Shor v'chamor, I had an ox and a donkey. According to what we see here, he had a lot of oxen and cows, donkeys and sheep and slaves. He says one slave, one maid. No, he had all a lot of them, an army of them. Why is he using the ox instead of oxen and cows? Why donkey instead of donkeys? And why is he, and he's saying the same sentence, and I'm here to find grace in your eyes. The Zohar is saying that was a trick, a psychological trick to outsmart Esau. And the Zohar says it this way. Everybody around the world knew that's verse 22. Amar Be'udah, Mara Yaakov Sheshalach Elisa Ve'amar. Why did he say I lived with Lavan and I had an ox and a donkey? On one hand, he was really putting himself in a like, my brother, I'm sorry, I apologize, I'm willing to pay you so much, just forgive me. That was one message, but there was another message, underlying. And that message said, I lived with Lavan. And the Zohar says, Ela Lavan Arami, Lavan, Kolo Alach Ba'olam, the voice was around the world. He had a reputation. Sheod lo haya Adam sheinatzel miyadav. No one, whoever fell in his hands, didn't come out of it. He was the greatest of all warlocks, magicians. The greatest of all magicians. Aviv shel Beor, he was the father of Beor, was also a great magician on the dark side. Aviv shel Bilam, and Beor was the father of Balaam. Lavan was the grandfather of Balaam, the great warlock. Lavan haya bechacham bichshafim veksamim yoter mehem, and Lavan was wise in witchcraft. More than all of them. V'im kol zeh lo yechol Yaakov. But if Jacob is coming from Lavan, he's just arriving from Lavan's home, and he has so much fortune to give as gifts. How did he do it? How did he do that? ומי שלבן רצה לאבד בכשפיו לא ניצל ממנו, כל מה שידע בלעם מלבן היה. Everything בלעם knew was from לבן. And the whole world were afraid of לבן and his witchcraft. לפיכך מילה ראשונה ששלח יעקב לעשו, that's why the first thing that יעקב sent to לעשו, on one hand, I'm your servant, I apologize, I'm going to be a doormat. You can step on me, take whatever I have, just forgive me. Okay? On the other hand, he's saying, I'm coming from Lavan. Okay? No one ever, he didn't say that, but everybody knew, no one ever left Lavan alive. Im Lavan garti, I lived with Lavan. And if you're going to say that it was a short time, no. I was there for over 20 years. ואם תאמר שלא עלתה לי מזה, let's say, I would say, I ran away for my life from Lavan, and that's it. No, I'm sending you all of these, all of that richness to show you I got all of it from Lavan. And I had shor v'chamor and ox and a donkey. Why not oxen and donkeys, said the Zohar? Because these two, shor v'chamor, an ox and a donkey, they are in the secret language. They are the heads of the dark side. They are the names, like if you have in the light side, you have the chariot of Ezekiel. You have on the chariot of Ezekiel a lion on the right, an ox on the left, an eagle in the middle, and in the back, a human form. Okay? In the language of witchcraft, they were ox and donkey, slave and maiden. When they get together, they can destroy the world. So, by hinting that, how do you think I got out of Lavan with so much fortune? I knew dark magic more than he did. Otherwise, there was no way I would get out of his house. What's the result? Miyad haya mityare Esav, verse 25. Esav started to get scared immediately. If he, Jacob, survived over 20 years with Lavan, and he's coming out with so much fortune he took out from the hands of Lavan, he must be the biggest magician in the world. He can kill me with just one word. Yasa likato, and he came to welcome him. Vaya mitire miyako, and he was so much afraid of Jacob. Same way that Jacob was afraid of Esau. Okay, so what do we learn from that? If you're weak, it doesn't mean that you have to perform weakness. And we know in the history of world warfare, the psychological warfare is the most important of all of them. And the first thing is to get your enemy, forget that you are his enemy, and get your enemy to be confused enough so he won't be able to be focused on killing you. And that's why where it says, verse 29, so Esav, on one hand, he says, like, why, if my brother is such a great warlock, he can kill me with one word. So he's afraid. On the other hand, so if he can give me one word, why is he asking for forgiveness? Why is he giving me so many treasures? When Jacob came close to Esav, verse 29, he started to bow down to him. He bowed down to him seven times. Amar Esav, im haya lo kol kach koach. So Esav is like relieved. If he is so powerful, why is he bowing down to me? התחיל להתגאות. Now his ego started to soar. This man, my brother, who survived 20 years with Lavan, he got out of Lavan all of these armies of sheep and cattle. He just named it, and camels and donkeys. And he's bowing down to me. When you feed somebody's ego, it becomes his weakness. So the Zohar is saying in that moment that Esav started to be full of himself, full of ego. He was really confused because the ego confuses you. He forgot that Jacob is his biggest competitor. He forgot that he wants to take over Jacob in everything. He forgot it. And the Zohar says if Esav knew what he was doing to himself, when he got proud seeing Jacob bowing down, he would have killed himself just not to come to that level. And what is that? Because his ego was so growing in that moment, he lost his last holy spark. That spark that gave Jacob the simple, innocent man of spirituality and innocence, gave him also the side and the power of Israel, the ability to fight back, to conquer, which Jacob basically took from Esav. He took it from Esav. He didn't have it in the beginning. The ability to lead, the ability to conquer, the ability to fight and win, that he took. Well, how? By putting himself low. However, as I said before, he didn't do it just as like being with humility and making himself like a, you know, as I said before, he used the angels, the good deeds. He used the gifts. All of that was a combined thing. And one more, he prayed. He prayed from the bottom of his heart. He prayed to God and he prayed for help. And as Rabbi Ashlag is saying, when you don't know what to do and you're really in trouble, pray and pray and pray again and again and again. Don't stop praying till you come to that place that you feel quiet. Then whatever you choose will come out right. Even if you choose the wrong thing, God will turn it into the right road, the right direction. So that's the power of the prayer. And so we learn over here how to create protection. We learn over here that we don't know exactly what's the right thing to do. Like thinking outside the box, what we studied about last week, here it comes again. Like Jacob did not think that Esav is finally going to hug him and kiss him and say, I give up. You can have whatever you want. I'll go back to Edom. I forgive you. Everything is okay. What Jacob did, he did not tell God what to do. He simply wanted to survive. He wanted to be saved. He simply prayed directly to God without giving all kind of advices like we do sometimes. No, we don't know. And it's okay we don't know, because outside the box, the answer could be so much simpler than you could think. Just hand it over to the Creator. You do your best and God will do the rest. Now, Later on, as I said, I'll finish with that. We have the story of the kings of Edom. And a big portion of Kabbalistic studies is based on these kings of Edom. And just to mention it, because it is to show that when the world was created, what was created first? The vessel that wants to receive for itself alone. The vessel, the desire to receive for the sake of sharing, was created later. The first kind of a vessel, when it was created step by step. What does it mean, step by step? In the evolutionary process of the worlds that make up this universe, each one of the kings of Edom represent another layer of creation. But it says every king was like he reigned, a new world was created, established, and then he died. It broke. This is the story of the broken vessels. What happened when they broke those vessels? They allowed the ability to mix the broken vessels, which were coming from the dark side, the side of Edom, selfishness, pride, ego, and they got broken and mixed with the system of holiness. That was also mentioned in the previous parasha when we're talking about Jacob somehow engineering that the young sheep that were born, they were akudim, nekudim, uvudim. There's a description of the akudim, Nekudim uvudim, that again, it's a secret of the world above. That in the beginning, all the formations of the universe, that in the initial stage, they were created akudim, bound as one. Everything was united in a perfect unity. Then, because of the creation, and the purpose of the creation was to create the ability to have free will. Then the world, the olamot, the worlds, had to be somehow diminished. And that's why they diminish into dots, nekudim. Okay? These are the vessels in that level that are too small to contain the infinite light of the Creator. So when the light of the Creator filled them up, they reigned, they came into power, and then they broke and shattered. These are the kings of Edom, and these are Olamot HaNekudim. As they shattered, they got mixed with the holy system, and they became Burdim, which means patches. So in our world, we have patches of holiness and patches of unholiness. And our job as humans is when we create holiness, when we create with passion, love, and dignity, and honor, and all of that integrity, honesty, when we create whatever is called mitzvah, positivity. We pull their holiness out, you know, it's patches and patches of holiness mixed with all unholiness. It's all confused and mixed. Our actions, pure positive actions, they separate between the holy and the unholy. And then the broken vessels can be corrected. So the story of the kings of Edom is a story of the broken vessels. And how free will came into being so we can find holiness and unholiness mixed together, and by our own actions and faith and awakening for excitement connecting to divinity, we can simply remove the holiness from the unholiness, and get the patches together till we complete the tikkun, and the whole world will finally be all holy. And that will be a long process, and that's why the Zohar says, and I'll finish with that. And that's why the Zohar says the same way, when the Messianic era will come, it's going to be through stages, step by step. It's not like once and for all, as we spoke about it before. And it's a whole process of step by step correcting another level, another patch, another spark of light, creating another angel. And little by little, the world is going to become better, guaranteed. Thank you very much.